Cambridge Muslim College, training the next generation of Muslim thinkers.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja qayyima yunzira ba'san shadidan min ladun wa yubashshira al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati anna lahum ajran hasana makithina fihi abada wa yunzira alladhina qalu ittakhadha Allahu walada ma lahum bihi min 'ilm wa la li'abaihim كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فهو الرحمة المهدى والنعمة المصدى والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون سلام الله تعالى عليكم ورحمته وبركاته روى البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره وفي الرواية فليكرم ضيفه. The famous hadith narrated by Bukhari, the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever believes in Allah and the last of days, let him honor his neighbor. And in another version of the same hadith, and in some of the really big hadiths of Islam, the Holy Prophet ﷺ obviously said the same thing many times in slightly different versions, but it doesn't matter. Let him honor his guest. Now, these are two ancient human virtues, hospitality, neighborliness. And ours is the religion particularly of these Abrahamic virtues. Even in the desert, you can have neighbors, although they may be temporary. Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, strangers come to his tent in the desert. That's usually a source of worry. No sultan, no police, no ID. Who are they? They are qawmun munkarun, an unknown people. But what does he do? He brings for them the fatted calf. Ajlin Samin. This is essential to our ethos. The guest receives the best. And down the centuries, this has been part of the Muslim way of organizing our homes. We are there to honor not ourselves so much as for others. Where the host sit doesn't matter so much. And the guest should not make such a fuss either. We have this whole literature of Adab al-Daif, which contains beautiful things. So this Abrahamic virtue is connected to this relationship to the other who is in a position of some vulnerability. And the neighbor, who exactly is the neighbor? The guest, that's clear enough, but the neighbor, it's important to have some sort of definition because it can even be a legal category. That the qadi can enforce things on a neighbor that he can't enforce on somebody who is far away. The neighbor has certain rights. So how do we understand the neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Particularly in our times where most of our engagement with other human beings might be online, the people we get to know best and who we feel have the most rights over us in terms of our reliable good behavior might be on the other side of the planet. We may actually never see them in the flesh. Who is actually living in the flat next door or the flat above? We might not even know their names. But the real neighbor, the physical neighbor, is one with whom you can have a better and a different, distinctive kind of relationship. There is a connection the heart has with the spouse, with the child, with the parent, with the religious fraternity with the neighbor, each of them has a particular quality. And the neighbor is one of those human metabolisms. The one you talk to over the garden fence is not really the same as the one you're chatting to on WhatsApp who's in New Zealand. It's a different kind of engagement. And in Islam, it's important. So then how does the definition exactly work? Is it the guy next door but the guy two houses down? Where does it stop? Well, verse in the Quran speaks of وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, the near and the far neighbour, which seems to mean the neighbour who is possessed of closeness, literally, and the one who is strange. The ulama say, well, maybe there's a definition for us in this. But what it means is contested. Is the near neighbour in this verse somebody who's related to you? There seems to be justification for that in the Sunnah. The Holy Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-jiranu thalatha. There's three categories of neighbours. Jarun lahu haqqun wahid, jarun lahu haqqan, wa jarun lahu thalathatu huquq. There's a neighbour who has one right over you, a neighbour who has two rights over you, a neighbour who has three rights over you, and that is al-jarul muslim dhul rahim. Somebody who is a neighbour and a Muslim and a relative. That means they have particular expectations of you and rights over you. But even the one who is not in those categories still has those rights. So that seems to give some justification for that interpretation. But others would say it's the Muslim neighbour and the non-Muslim neighbour. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali says this is the correct interpretation. The non-Muslim neighbour, it's in the hadith, sound hadith. From Abdullah ibn As, annahu dhabaha shatan, faqala lahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hal ahdaytu minha lijarika al-Yahudi? A man once slaughtered a sheep. The Holy Prophet says, have you given some of it to your Jewish neighbor? Thalatha marrat, he says it three times. So the non-Muslim is also the neighbor in the meaning of these immense hadiths. Others amongst the jurists say it's the nearest 40 houses to your house. The kind of mahalla, the urban district, which was an important social unit in medieval Muslim cities and might even have gates that would be locked at night. The mahalla was part of what you belonged to. But in any case, the neighbor is really important, and this continues to be important because however online we may be, we always have physical neighbors and we are required to be good to them. And an amazing hadith, which is in Bukhari. Sometimes in Muslim countries, you see this sort of pinned up next to sort of lobbies and lifts and so forth. لا يزال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. Gabriel kept on insisting on goodness to neighbors until I thought that he would give a neighbor a share in one's inheritance. That's a big deal, right? Not just the sister and the brother-in-law, whatever it might be, that calculation, but the neighbor as well. That would be mathematically, practically difficult. But it's interesting in this hadith that the urging is coming from Jibril, the angel of revelation. It's kind of unusual for Jibril to be making a fiqh or moral point. He's Hamil al-Wahi, he's the one who brings the revelation, but here he's urging something specific. Another indication of how important it might be. So many hadiths, if you look for them. Another one, famous, rather abrupt and alarming one. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, it said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ فُلَانَةً تَصُومُ النَّهَارِ وَتَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَتُؤْذِي جِيرَانَهَا قَالَ هِيَ فِي النَّارِ. There's this woman, they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, there's this woman who fasts every day and who prays every night, but she upsets her neighbors. Who knows, gossip, something. قَالَ هِي فِي النَّارِ, he said, she's in the fire. That's abrupt. He knows the circumstances. And this indicates that the outward forms of religion are there for a purpose. The prayer, تَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, the prayer is that which protects us, which prevents us from ugly speech and actions and unacceptable things. And the fast is supposed to be junnah, a protection, and we're coming into that now. And you know, particularly that backbiting and those other lisan errors of the tongue are one of the things that kind of break the fast. Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the earliest Muslims, had that in his fiqh. Al-ghiba tufsidu siyam. Backbiting, oop, fast is broken. Try again next year. That's how serious it is. So these outward forms are there to inculcate an inward reality, a perfection. Each time we finish the prayer, we should be better. Maybe we've done, who knows, 10,000 prayers. Are we 10,000 times better than when we started? If not, then we're a little bit like the guy who, I guess, buys a new car and spends a lot on the car and sits in the car and moves the steering wheel, but he doesn't actually get it to move. He might get into it 5 times a day, kind of enjoying the nice car and the smell of the fresh furniture, and his neighbours are watching because there's other cars around and they're all looking at each other, but he's not actually getting it to move. Sometimes we can do that with the prayer and the fast, which is kind of stupid. Missed opportunity. Allah's giving us these amazing vehicles for our progress, but we're kind of too preoccupied with the fiqh or who's looking or daydreaming or whatever it is, actually to put the key in the ignition to get the thing to work, which is unfortunate. So this is the case with this woman. She becomes damnable despite her good actions because of this, what she's saying, what she's doing to her neighbours. This is clearly an important thing in Islam, that forms of worship, the ibadat, are means to an end. And we need to remember that as we make the niyyah. Not just, I'm going to pray Zuhr 4 rak'ahs, etc., Allahu Akbar. No, there's more. There are shurut batina, there are inward preconditions for the validity of the prayer that in Ramadan in particular we need to be able to work on. Many people gain nothing from their fast, illa al-ju' wal-atash, except hunger and thirst. We all get that, just about. But what else is the Holy Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, suggesting that we should get from our fast? Why just get the pain without the gain? A lot of people do that. A lot of praying without really improving, without this nahi anil fahsha or munkar actually taking place. So this is significant, that in our engagement with others, the reality of our ibadah comes to the surface. Has the nafs been subdued? Is the ruh liberated? Is the recollection of the mi'raj somehow present? Are we rising up in our actions or not? So these are the fruits of faith. Husnul khuluq, good character. And this is universal. Even if it's the 41st house down the street, they still have rights. Even if it's somebody tapping a keyboard in New Zealand, they still have rights. Online adab is important. Now, in a sense, in the global village, we're all jiran, we're all neighbours. Once the telephone was invented, that was that in terms of the traditional neighbourhood. Sometimes we neglect our neighbours, we're all guilty of that. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose way is the way of fitra, is calling us back to these ancient forms of humanity and common life and getting us to pay attention to who is actually around us. And they do have rights. The whole question of the property market, for instance, which is one of the most voracious and nasty dog-eat-dog aspects of the modern economy, full of predators, would look very different if we actually read some hadiths. مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ جَارٌ فِي حَائِطٍ أَوْ شَرِيكٍ فَلَا يَبِعْهُ حَتَّى يَعْرِضَهُ عَلَيْهِ. It's a kind of prophetic commandment. Whoever has a neighbour to his garden or his enclosure, his plot of land, should not sell that plot of land without offering it first to his neighbour. In other words, the neighbour isn't surprised by the for sale sign outside and then it's survival of the richest. No, the neighbour has certain rights and you should offer it to the neighbour first. Maybe he can make use of it. Maybe it's a chance for him to put in an extension or to whatever it might be. That is his right. لَا يَمْنَعَنَّ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ خَشَبَةً فِي جِدَارِ. Another hadith. Many of these things are from the hadith, down to earth, but still absolutely relevant. If your neighbour wants to change something in his wall, and the wall perhaps is a party wall, So it's hard for him to get to your side of it, but he wants to change it. The Holy Prophet says in a very emphatic way, you shouldn't stop him from doing that. If he's putting a new piece of wood or a beam in his wall, nowadays it could be any of a number of things. And these are part of the adab of jiwar in Islam. Husnul jiwar, to be a beautiful neighbor, is one of the essential akhlaq of Islam, that in our atomized, online, individualistic age, we are losing sight of. I saw a story in the press, and there could be millions like this, but this was a very extreme case. They found an old age pensioner somewhere in Germany who had died alone, but everything was paid by direct debit, and nobody noticed for 3 years. He died in front of his television. The television blew up or something after a couple of years. Then he was found in an apartment building full of people and babies and people coming and going online, but he was forgotten. And George Monbiot, the social critic, calls ours the age of loneliness. A lot of people out there who don't have anybody very much because they just get, everybody's busy. We need to overcome that, because these prophetic commandments, these commands from Gabriel himself, are couched as commandments. It's not just a kind of nice icing on the cake bit of our akhlaq. It's essential that we do this. These are prophetic commandments. So we should be people who watch out for neighbors, people who put up with what the neighbors do. Hassan al-Basri used to say, "Laysa husn al-jiwar kafu al-aidi, walakin husn al-jiwar ihtimal al-adha." Good neighborliness is not just not doing things that annoy your neighbor, kicking a football into his greenhouse or whatever. It's not just about that, but it's putting up with the bad stuff that they do. They play music late at night. The roses are going all over the boundary, whatever it might be, you put up with that, within reason, of course, but this is part of husn al-jiwar. So in our atomized, individualistic social world, no such thing as society according to Margaret Thatcher, but of course there is, for as long as we're social animals, we always have people we are near, and those people should also be people who are dear, and this is part of the prophetic mission. So as we move into Ramadan, inshallah, we'll think about these things. We'll think about people who are breaking the fast alone, people who are neglected. Make sure that we know those who are in our groups, those who are in our neighborhood, and look out for the people who seem to be shopping alone, the old lady who now has to buy her weekly grocery from a robot. She doesn't even have the counter girl to help her any longer. Loneliness is becoming more and more acute. So inshallah, as we go into Ramadan, we'll make this intention to revive this important part of the sunnah, inshallah, to become, as we ennoble others, more noble ourselves, inshallah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ولي المتقين نكال الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم محدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال عز من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
Cambridge Muslim College, training the next generation of Muslim thinkers.